Ladies and gentlemen, on Election Day, in addition to control of Congress and all of the ballot measures and the L.A. County Sheriff and all those important things, obviously the governor, by the way, John Cox, will be in the studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a Senate seat up for grabs, and not just any Senate seat. It is the Senate seat from California. Dianne Feinstein, the senior senator from California, of course, has occupied that office for many, many years. She's being challenged by fellow Democrat Kevin DeLeon, state senator and senator pro tem of the California State Senate. And he's on the Newsmaker line with us right now. Good morning. Good morning, Senator DeLeon. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm
glad,
fine.
To be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
No, we appreciate, and I mean this sincerely, you and I don't agree on a lot, okay?
But there's some things I think we can agree on.
I respect you tremendously.
I listen to you.
Here's one thing that we absolutely agree on, that it is important that the candidates who want to be serving the people of California in such a powerful position in the United States Senate actually talk to the constituents, to the citizens. And Senator Feinstein has failed in that regard for decades. I've been doing this for almost a quarter of a century, and she has never accepted a single invitation to come on and talk to the people of California. You have. Senator Boxer used to come on with us. And it's not my ego. It's no skin off my nose. I just find it obnoxious when people want to represent the people of California. It's one of the greatest honors, and they don't want to talk to them. And I just think it's disrespectful. You know, but
well, I can tell you this, Doug, is that it's been close to two decades, 18 years to be exact, since the last time Senator Feinstein stepped off a debate stage and debated her opponent. I think that many Californians know who she is. She has 95% name recognition, but quite frankly, they don't know where she stands on the positions that are important to Californians. Like you said, Doug, you and I may not agree on some things. I'm sure there's quite a few things we can agree on, but I think what is most important to Californians, and it doesn't make a difference if you voted for Donald Trump, another Republican candidate, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, to me. I think every voter deserves a respect by having several debates, live television, so the maximum amount of viewers in California can actually make an informed decision and who they want to represent them in Washington, D.C. Again, regardless, it doesn't make a difference to me if you're Republican, Democrat, points in between, if you're agnostic and don't care about politics or politicians altogether. But the important thing is if you don't get involved in politics, as you know very well, Doug, politics gets involved with you, whether you like it or not.
That's exactly right. And by the way, what passes for a debate for this Senate seat will take place tomorrow, and it's not going to be on television. It's going to be live streamed, and you have to be a registered. I mean, you tell us how people can see it, and then talk to us about how you feel about the way this has come about.
Well, tomorrow there will be a conversation with the U.S. Senate candidates. It'll be in San Francisco at 12 o'clock. It is being sponsored by PPIC, the acronym for the Public Policy Institute of California, or better stated, the initials, Public Policy Institute of California. It's a think tank group that covers a lot of issues that impact Californians across the spectrum. And it's going to be at 12 o'clock. It was our wish that it would be prime time where the vast majority of viewers could actually witness it. People are working, you know, and we have a lot of working families up and down the state. We wish it was live television. Unfortunately, it's not live television. We wish it was a debate forum where you can actually debate on the values, on the vision, on your accomplishments for California. But it's neither. And it's a quote-unquote conversation. It is what it is, you know. I had asked for at least three debates. I said I'd do one in her alma mater at Stanford University. We could do one in Southern California. And my alma mater, the Claremont Colleges, and one in Central Valley, in Fresno or Bakersfield. But unfortunately, we were turned down. I know that the University of Southern California, I believe Cal State LA, as well as Loyola Marymount, Univision, Telemundo, La Opinion, ABC, Fox locally, KTTV, Local 11, they all offered to sponsor and actually organize and hold a debate, and we accepted, and they were turned down by Senator Feinstein.
We're talking.
We're talking with State Senator Kevin DeLeon, who is candidate for the United States Senate. His campaign website, by the way, is kevindeleon.com, kevindeleon.com. You can check that out. He's got positions on all the various issues, including all the biggies that we talk about all the time, homelessness, climate change, immigration, et cetera. Well, let me ask you the broadest possible question and then take a whack at it. Why do you want to be a United States Senator from California?
Well, let me tell you this, is I think, Doug, we need leadership that's on the front lines, not on the sidelines. These are very consequential times in our nation's history. And I think that the status quo in Washington is either unwilling or incapable of fighting back. I'm a Democrat, and I think you know very well the positions I have taken statewide. I have worked very closely with Republicans. To me, it doesn't make a difference where you stand on the aisle. If you live in Inland Empire, Orange County, Central Valley, I want to represent all of you, and I want to be your voice. The issues that I care deeply about, whether it's raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, whether it's health care coverage for everybody, these, to me, they're non-ideological. However, I know that the political narrative has been either on the right or the left. It's been a highly politicized subject area. But to me, I want to move policies that improve the human condition for all Californians, regardless of who you are and where you come from. These are very consequential times. And I also believe that, 26 years in the U.S. Senate, it's not about age. It's not about, never should be about ageism. But the reality is that I don't believe we have a senator currently today that reflects our values of California.
We're talking with Kevin DeLeon, and he is running for the United States Senate against Dianne Feinstein. And again, it is an uphill battle in the primary. She won handily, but the California State Democratic Party endorsed you. Why do you think they did that?
Well, I think it's because of the values. I can say this, Doug. If you remember opening up your June 5th primary ballot, there were 32 names on that ballot. It looked like the white pages, name after name after name after name. And quite frankly, I think I was on the last page in quite a few of the ballots. And if you really didn't know me, there was really no reason for you to vote for me. And when you have 95% name recognition, it's sort of like muscle memory, especially if you're a Democrat, to vote for Senator Feinstein. Objectively, I understand that. Our goal was to get into the top two. We're in the top two now. And that has shrunk. One poll has us at 11 points. Another one has us in single digits at 8 points. So we're trending nicely. And that's why I'm campaigning up and down the state, asking for Republicans, for Democrats, for decline the states, for independents, libertarians to consider my candidacy and have a new voice in Washington. Listen, I'm the youngest child of the single immigrant mother with a third grade education. My mother worked her fingers to the bone cleaning homes in a very wealthy enclave in San Diego, La Jolla, California. And that's what makes California such a magical place, that it doesn't make a difference if you're so many generations removed from the Midwest or from Oklahoma, fleeing the Great Depression to come to California seeking a better life and succeeding. Or if you come from south of the border as a housekeeper, a woman who had the courage or convictions to come and find the California dream and have her son become the leader of our California State Senate and actually have the audacity to run and challenge the establishment authority and say it's time that we have a new voice in Washington. That's only possible in a great country like ours. It's only possible in a great state like California.
I am the grandson of a woman who came from Ireland when she was 16 years old, who worked as a housekeeper.
Wow.
And then
we have that in common, Doc. You wouldn't have known.
Yes, yeah. And then actually worked as a Rosie the Riveter at the Grumman Aircraft Factory during World War II, making fighter planes, while her son, my Uncle Jack Reed, fought in the Marine Corps on Iwo Jima. So, the American story is the American story, but this brings us to the sanctuary bill, which you're the author of, which is where I suppose you and I probably have the biggest disagreement. I am emphatically pro-immigration and pro-immigrant, but I do believe that we have to be a nation of laws and there has to be a legal immigration system because, a rising tide lifts all boats and a receding tide lowers all boats. And when you ask the poor of California to compete with even the poorer, what it does is it keeps kicking people off the ladder of success. And that's what I, in my covering this story for 20 plus years, have reached that conclusion. I learned it from African-American construction workers here in Los Angeles who once dominated the drywall trade for whatever local anomaly. And they started telling me when I was doing overnight radio that they couldn't get hired in their own city anymore. And they saw their $18 an hour jobs vanish at $13. And, you know, California has astonishing resources, great universities, the best weather, we're ports and harbors, infrastructure poised on the Pacific Rim. And yet we have the highest number of poor people and percentage of poor people, not Alabama and Mississippi, progressive, enlightened California. And I believe it's because we have actively encouraged the hemisphere of the world's poor to come here, and we are eliminating any distinction between legal and illegal immigration. And the consequences are we're asking our poor people to compete with even poorer people, not just for, you know, a foot on the ladder, but putting a strain on the social welfare services and the social safety net of municipalities and school districts. And it's been counterproductive and destructive for the very people that we want to help.
Let me say this, Doug, is that and you have a true quintessential American and California story. Your mother coming from Ireland at the age of 16. And well, you know tonight, you and I belong to the Irish caucus. You're a McIntyre and I'm a Kevin, you know. but let me tell you this, is that I think what's happened here in California throughout the country is that Washington, D.C. is broken and it's dysfunctional and it lacks action. And we should have... they should have demonstrated the courage of their convictions to normalize the status of hardworking immigrants who have been here 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
Excuse me for jumping in, Senator. Excuse me for jumping in, but I agree with you. I believe that we should certainly fix the Dream Act kids status because I don't believe in visiting the sins of the father on the son or the daughter. But here's the problem. We did this with the Simpson-Mazzoli bill in the 80s. We did this in the Reagan amnesty where we were promised for an amnesty for 2.7 million people, there would be increased border security to make sure the next 2.7 million people didn't come illegally. And what happened was the amnesty went through, but the border security didn't. And now I just believe, as so many millions do, that the burden is the other way around. We want to see border security first, not laminate the country, obviously, but some kind of effective border security demonstrable to the American people so that we don't end up with another 11 to 20 million people coming in illegally, because people aren't foolish. They know that if they get in line and get into the country and they wait long enough, eventually there'll be another amnesty. And it's... you know, this is a self-repeating cycle that fails. To me, it's not unreasonable to say, demonstrate to the American public that we have effective control, not just of the southern border, by the way, ports and harbors and airports, about a fourth, if not a third, of illegal traffic. People just fly into the country and vanish, and no one goes looking for them. So why is that unreasonable?
What you're saying is not unreasonable. Let me say this, that every nation in the world, including the United States, our nation has a right to protect its own sovereignty, and that means border control. There's no dispute there with me, believe it or not. And I think folks have been out there saying for open borders. I've never once ever articulated I was ever for open borders.
No, but it's the net effect. It's the net effect of SB 54. Yeah. That's the net effect.
Allow me to say this, is that, again, we have folks, and you know who these folks are. They're our neighbors. They're the folks who take care of our children, clean our homes, serve us our food. We have folks who have been here 10, 20, 25 years who have yet to normalize their status. You make reference to the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, which was IRCA, the Immigration Reform and Control Act. There was two components. Legalize the sizable population already here who pay their taxes, pay their dues, and also at the same time, move forward with employer sanctions. Now, one thing you got to understand, objectively speaking, the federal government never really exercised those powers with regards to employer sanction, because a lot of folks, the growers, for example, in Central Valley and big manufacturing firms, really put political pressure on the federal government, on Republicans, to be very specific, and said, hey, we can't have you exercising the employer sanctions part because we still have folks who didn't normalize their status. That was part of the IRCA that Democrats and Republicans in a bipartisan fashion agreed to do. That was one failure of the policy. You're right. every nation, including ours, has the right to protect its own sovereignty. And you're right, a good portion, more than a third actually, actually come through the ports of entry, whether they come from SFO, LAX, Kennedy Airport.
Nashville International Airport. You can fly into the middle of the country and vanish and no one goes looking for you. We're talking with State Senator Kevin De Leon, by the way.
We have folks from...
We're talking with State Senator Kevin De Leon, candidate for the United States Senate, running against Dianne Feinstein. His campaign website is kevindeleon.com.
I think you and I would agree, and I think a lot of our listeners would agree, that we need comprehensive immigration reform that is fair, to what you said, to the Dreamers, that is fair to the parents of the Dreamers. We take care of that, we move forward. And I think that there are, in fact, a lot of Republicans who would be reasonable and actually vote for what they would believe is fair and just. Now, as you know very well, there are elements within the Republican Party who have gone very extreme and off the grid completely on this issue and have utilized it for their own political purposes. We can ignore them and isolate them, put them to the side. But we can agree, because there are reasonable Republicans, there are Democrats who want to sit down at the table.
Well, here's the problem.
Do what's right and fair for the country.
I haven't found the reasonable Democrats in California, and I mean that. I'm sorry for being so.
You're talking to one of them,
Doug. Well, but you see, I don't think so, and here's why. Because SB 54 doubled down on what doesn't work, and it did something, in my opinion, Senator. It did something even worse. It cuts to this. It violates the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution. It literally goes back to nullification, something that the Confederacy did. We don't like Donald Trump. We don't like the fact that the federal government finally is stepping up to enforce immigration. So at the local level, we're going to create essentially California's own foreign policy and its own immigration policy that's in conflict with federal law. And you know, what if Texas decided to say, we don't like OSHA? We don't like environmental protection policy, so we're simply going to ignore it. And then we're going to end up with everybody going rogue in 17 different directions, and it's disuniting. So there's a philosophic issue that's bigger than even the specific issue.
Doug, let me take that on let me push back somewhat. Very respectful.
Sure, fair. Hey, by the way, I really do. Hang on a second. I really do appreciate that you're here talking about this, because, you know, most people, we can't get anybody to have a conversation with us.
No, I totally understand. But I'm going to push back, as you would think, diplomatically, yet very respectfully. With regards to the Supremacy Clause, the federal government, the Constitution, and individual states, you know, I think that, say, for example, the state of Texas really used the Supremacy Clause to their advantage greatly, because the state of Texas, under a Republican governor, were the ones who stopped the Dreamers and DACA from ever coming to fruition.
Well, the courts did.
With the lawsuit.
Yeah, well, the courts ruled that it was unconstitutional.
By a lawsuit that was initiated by the state of Texas. Now, this is what I did with Senate Bill 54, because I think that a lot of press really blew it up with the so-called sanctuary state title. Because I never called it sanctuary state. I always called it the California Values Act. But I threw my hands up in the air, because I just couldn't compete with the narrative that the press had already put around the bill. My bill simply says, our local tax dollars, Doug McIntyre's tax dollars, his wife's tax dollars, will not be utilized to enforce federal immigration policies. We do not prohibit, we do not stop at all whatsoever, federal immigration authorities from executing their duty and responsibilities to enforce federal immigration law. What we do with Senate Bill 54 is we say, like, the local LAPD or local police departments throughout California cannot collaborate if you're talking about a Dreamer, if you're talking about a mother or father who's cleaning homes. But if you are a pedophile, if you're a violent criminal felon, well, guess what? I don't care if you're from Northern Ireland or from Ireland, I don't care if you're from Wales or Scotland, the UK, China, or elsewhere, you will be taken away from this country, period. And what happens, you know this well, from Prop 187 and every other initiative, when we talk about these issues, it gets so amplified and so polemic and so polarizing and so visceral, so emotional, we lose these rational conversations and how to sit down at the table, roll up our sleeves, and deal with this issue. Now, if you were to ask me, if you're a violent criminal felon, if you're a pedophile, and if you're from Ireland or Canada or elsewhere, I don't want you here. I don't want you in Chatsworth. I don't want you in San Fernando Valley. I don't want you in Torrance. I don't want you here, period. But if you're a hardworking immigrant who's been here 15, 20 years, and has yet to be able to normalize their status because the Congress themselves have not drafted the laws necessary for you to normalize your status. It's like a Kafka novel. It's like Alice in Wonderland. Things are upside down. You hear the argument all the time. How come you haven't legalized your status? You've been here 20 years. I don't understand why you haven't done it. How come you're not a U.S. citizen? I haven't been able to do it because the Congress have yet to write the laws that would make me eligible. We got to get this done and get it off the table once and for all. And for your subject matter about border sovereignty protection, I agree with that. There's no disagreement there with me.
You've had the last word on this. State Senator Kevin DeLeon, the campaign website is kevindeleon.com. Again, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us. Good luck on Election Day.
No, Doug, I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And let's not forget, let's get out there and vote come November 6th.
Okay, Kevin DeLeon.